Let's open with prayer. Lord God, there is no good thing that we can do apart from you. Lord, I pray that you would get all of the glory and all of the praise. I pray that every word of my mouth and every meditation of my heart would be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. You are my rock and my redeemer, Lord. You are our one thing. Father, please inhabit this place. Speak to each of our hearts, Father. Help Diane and I to get out of the way and have your will here. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. So starting in April of 2014, our women's ministry has sponsored 7 different retreats, and now this is our 8th. This is amazing. So our first retreat in April of 2014 was called Abiding. Then we moved on to Broken and Beautiful, Unique and United, Can I Get a Witness, Rest and Refuel, The Secret Place, and then this past spring, He Loves, We Love, 4, 7, and 8. What a blessing each of these retreats have been, and truly we have all seen God really grow us as individuals, as a community, and in our relationship with the Lord. So for several years, in fact, I found an email dated in December of 2013, even before our very first women's retreat. I had an idea on my heart for a women's retreat based on 1 John chapter 4. So in the summer of 2016, I had this so heavy on me that I actually put it on my calendar for April 7th and 8th, because that's 4, 7, and 8. And I wrote on my calendar app, love, and then started taking notes. I never told anybody this. It was just on my calendar. So we're at a women's ministry meeting, and Diane says, we have booked the retreat center for April 7th and 8th. I have at this point forgotten all about this, and I open up my calendar app, and I went, Diane, like 4, 7, and 8? Like, so we really knew that last spring was supposed to be the 4, 7, and 8 retreat, and it was amazing. And that weekend, we focused in on the theme of that we love others because He first loved us, based on 1 John 4, 7, and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loveth is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Okay, we sang that a whole bunch, and some of you already knew the salty tune. But so that retreat really paved the way for this retreat, which is focusing our attention on God as our one thing. And just to give you a little insight, next spring we already have a thing to retreat in the works, which will be based on loving others, right? So God is our first thing. Our first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God. And our second commandment is to love our neighbor as ourselves. So super, super excited. So in preparing for this one thing retreat, we thought thing one was a little off color, so we went with one thing, but we looked at several verses. For example,
they are in the handout.
Okay, yeah. Sorry. You got a notebook, and a lot of these notes are in your notebook, so if you hadn't looked there yet. Luke 10:42. When Jesus was at Mary and Martha's house, Martha complained that she was doing all the work. And Jesus answered her, but one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her. Then Psalm 27:4, David writes, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And Philippians 3:13 and 14. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And finally, kind of what we settled on is our main passage for this retreat, Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34, where you'll find the verse on the back of the shirt. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he, that's Jesus, answered them well, asked him, that's Jesus, which commandment is the most important of all? And Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the scribe said to him, you are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions.
We notice that Jesus quoted there, Jesus answered, and that comes from Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 5. But let me give you a little bit of context of that first. In Exodus 20, Moses gave the Ten Commandments for the first time. He was up on the mountain, came back, well, and they got broken, right? He got angry and broke them, so God had to create them again. And he gave the Ten Commandments the first time. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, after the 40 years of roaming around in the wilderness because of their disobedience, 40 years go by, the older generation dies off. Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law, we see the Ten Commandments given again to the new generation. Then the very next chapter, we see the verse that Jesus quoted. Okay, a chapter after giving the new generation the Ten Commandments. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And then Jesus up in Mark adds, or Mark as he translated it, added mind, and we'll look at that in a minute. And these words I have commanded you today shall be on your heart. A few words I want to point out to you there in the original. Here is Shema. You've heard the Shema, right? Is what it's called. The Shema. Deuteronomy 6. 4 and 5. The Hebrews knew that backwards and forwards, the Shema. What is it? Hear. It comes from the first word, hear. It's a verb that means hear, hearken. Look at the next word.
Obey.
Hear, listen, with the intent to obey what I'm going to tell you. Understand it, grasp it, and you be in a position to be ready to obey what I'm going to tell you. Hear, O Israel. Are you ready? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Lavav is the word. It's a noun. It means consider or mind. And I highlighted that word because that's how they took it in the New Testament. Understanding the inner man, the will. So love him with all your heart. Soul, nefesh, is a noun. Soul, life, person, self, emotion, passion. So love him with all your heart, love him with all your soul, and then might, mayod, change that adjective to adverb, please. I just got carried away stressing that it wasn't a noun, because it's so important that it wasn't a noun. It's not a noun. Love him with all your might. So we take it as a noun, but it really translates greatly, exceedingly, much, diligently. It's an adverb. In the original Hebrew, it just says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul,
and love him like crazy.
And love him like crazy. That's what we're getting to. And it's like the author was saying, because it's not another noun, it's not another part of us. So he says, love the Lord with God with all of you that thinks and understands and reasons. And then love the Lord your God with all of your insides and your emotion and your passion. And love the Lord your God with all your very all. Is how it's originally translated in Hebrew. It's not another noun. It tells us how to love him. Love him with everything in you that thinks or can reason or will. Let him know with everything that you emote and that you're passionate about. It's given right after the Ten Commandments. God knew we couldn't follow him on our own. So he says, let me tell you how to do the Ten Commandments. Love me with everything that you are. With all your very all is the literal translation. And our response to that should be as the old hymn. Can you sing that with me? Can you give me a good starting key?
I'm not sure.
Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my here, with the intent to understand and obey. And that kind of love demands our soul, our life, our all. That's what this weekend is about. But what if you're not there? Or what if maybe you've been there and you're not now? What if you're not even sure how to get back there? That's what we're praying and seeking this weekend.
Around Easter, well, actually before Easter, my brother sent me a new Bible. And it's called the Tree of Life version. And it has a very strong Jewish emphasis to it. So they collaborated with a lot of Hebrew scholars. And all the way through, especially in the Psalms, when you open up and read, instead of just God and Lord, it says Elohe Tazvat. And it says Adonai. And it says Adonai Elohim. And it says El Elyon. And it has all the original Hebrew names of God, which I love being drawn back into. But then there are also other themes throughout that were very common Jewish themes that they just got and understood that we're dumb and we don't. So I run across those and I'm like, oh shoot, what's that? And I go back to the glossary and I'm reading something else and I have to stop. And I can kind of guess in context, but I have to go back to the glossary. So I'm reading through, using the new scripture. And I'm looking, and I keep flipping, and I end up keeping flipping back to this one word. And you see it if you flip your page. It's the word teshuva. Teshuva. And it means to turn back toward. Now, already we had just had the spring retreat, or it was right around that time, because I thought this was going to be the spring retreat. And then when the 4, 7, and 8 came, it was like, that's a no-brainer, we're doing that, and God intended for this to be this retreat now. So I'm already thinking one thing, but while I'm thinking one thing, I get this new Bible, and it says, turn back toward. And so I keep running across all this teshuva all the way through. So then Kim starts the Hosea study in the study hour on Sunday mornings, right? And the first or second week, she says, okay, before you come next week, I want you to read through the whole book of Hosea so that you get the whole background. And so I'm reading through the whole book of Hosea, and I'm about floored, and I want you to see, you know, how it has titles for different sections. Can I bring this around to chapter 6? Chapter 6 says, so I'm already repeating this word over and over, the entire chapter, prayer of Teshuva. So we're fixing to have how many weeks of this in Sunday school? And it's like, okay, I think you're talking to me. I might need to be hit over the head a couple more times, but I think teshuva, turn back. And then you read in, so verses 1 through 3 of that chapter 6 there say this, and it's on your handout, I believe. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the 3rd day, he will restore us. I think that's prophetic.
Yes.
Why is he going to do that? That we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on.
That's that Philippians passage that Kim read.
Let us press on to acknowledge him. You keep reading in Hosea chapter 12, said this, at least in my new Bible here. So you should return to your God. Keep covenant loyalty and justice and wait for your God. How long? When?
Continually.
Wait for him. And then chapter 14, the end of the book, and Hosea is about redeeming love, right? Being redeemed back again when we just keep wanting to go after our whoredom.
The end, the whole chapter is great. 2 through 9 is wonderful. I'm just going to, for time's sake, do 2 and 9.
Take words with you and return to the Lord. What words should we take? Say to him,
forgive all of our sins and receive us graciously that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Then it goes on for several more verses, the very last verse of the book of Hosea.
Who is wise? Let them realize these things. Who is discerning? Let them understand. The ways of the Lord are right.
The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. He's right. We're wrong. So when we're not synced up, guess who moved?
But guess what the invitation is?
Return. Come back. And he never tires of saying, come back. Return.
So, okay, it was like, so I'm blown away with that, right? So I have to start Googling because that's just what you do, right? When you don't have enough information on something.
So on your, I guess it's, yeah, bottom of this page and more, I just Googled Teshuvah, and then the site that I kept going back to again and again was HebrewForChristians.com. So I think there's a note of that somewhere. It may come later on the next page. But let me just give you some things, and I've put most of my notes in here so that you can take it with you. I want to give you a couple before you get to what's on the bottom of the page where you're at, so hang in there a minute. Teshuvah is a turning back to God. The theme of the Jewish high holidays is Teshuvah. The Jewish high holidays, the ones that are most important to them, you know what the theme is? They don't have to come up with a t-shirt every year. The theme every single year is Teshuvah. A word that's often translated repentance, although it's more accurately understood as turning back or shuv, and Kim is going to jump on that a little bit later, to God. In spiritual terms, shuv may be regarded as both a turning away from evil and a turning toward the good, though Jewish thinking regards turning towards God as the means by which we turn away from evil. It's one thing. And how do we turn from evil? We turn to him. It's the means by which we do that. In modern Hebrew, and I love, this was just really cool. Teshuva means answer. It's the answer to a selah, question. So a question is put out, a selah is put out, and a teshuva is given back. Does that make sense? You put out a selah, and you give a, am I saying it right? And you get a teshuva back, right? So God's love for us is what's put out there. It's not that we question God's love necessarily. That's more what it's getting after. It says God's love is put out there. And what's our answer to him?
Turn back.
Teshuvah.
I'm giving this to you. Here's what I'm laying out there. My love. The response. Love so amazing, so divine.
Demands that kind of response.
It's the answer. Teshuvah is one of the great gifts God gives each of us, the ability to turn back to him and seek healing for our brokenness. Romans even said it's his kindness that leads us to repentance.
There is actually on your next page, oh my word, a whole season of Teshuvah. And would you believe we are upon it right now?
Yes.
That's why we didn't do it in 4, 7, 8.
Yes.
The Hebrew month of Elul, which is their 6th month in the calendar, is late summer, early fall, and it's the month set aside for repentance to get ready for the high holidays, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. You ready for this? Rosh Hashanah is the Jewish New Year.
Guys, it started last night.
Amen.
Last night at 6 o'clock. Only he knew that. I mean, all the Jews did too. Okay. We're done. We're Gentiles. We didn't know that. oh my gosh, it was just 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yes.
Teshuvah, turn back to me, because last night I'm starting a new year. That leads up to Yom Kippur, which is that Day of Atonement, which is in the Old Testament, the one day of the year that the priest could go into the Holy of Holies and offer sacrifice. It's going to be September 30th this year. So I say, what a time for a New Year's resolution, hey? Teshuvah. Let's turn back. Teshuvah is an awakening from sleep induced by sin. I've been there, ladies. That's where I've been. And it manifests itself, this teshuvah, manifests itself as the power of the Holy Spirit working in the heart of a believer who trusts God in salvation through Yeshua Jesus. It's a sort of death and rebirth. And yes, we're saved once, but we go through little salvations and little conversions over and over and over. And it's another chance. The autobiography of Amy Carmichael, or the biography of Amy Carmichael by Elizabeth Elliot, is called A Chance to Die. That was Amy Carmichael, missionary for 52 years, I think it was, to India, that never took a furlough. 52 years. And she saw every opportunity to minister as a chance to die, another chance to die. Teshuvah is a sort of death and rebirth, a death of the past life and birth to the new. And we know what the New Testament says. We're new. We're a new creation.
Okay, I have to share one little tidbit with you. So Diane and I actually prepped these talks separately and emailed them to one another, and it was insane, seriously, the overlap that we have. So when you see what we are doing, it was like I sent her a copy of my notes and she sent me a copy of her notes that we had prepared separately, and the overlap was so excessive that we went, okay, so you talk about this stuff and I'll talk about this stuff, because we like quoted the same verses. Like, I did the Hosea study, you guys. I mean, like, she talks about return. I mean, it was just all of these overlapping was amazing. So when we finished our study of Hosea this spring, then I was going, okay, what should I study over the summer? And I was led then to study Jeremiah next. Jeremiah and Hosea have a lot of similarities. They are both warning the people to come back to God, that they are wandering, adulterous people. Hosea is speaking to Israel, and Jeremiah is speaking to Judah, but they are both saying, you guys are adulterous people, you need to turn back to God. So Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, I remember the devotion of your youth and your love as a bride, and how you followed me in the wilderness in a land not sown. And then you can skip forward for the sake of time to verse 11. Has a nation changed its gods, even though they are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. God's people had forgotten the devotion of their youth and their love as his bride. I'll mention to you that Sunday morning, during our study hour, I'm going to be leading a discussion about our life as Christ's bride. So we're going to dig more into that Sunday morning. But the people had committed two evils. They had forsaken God. They had left him, forgotten him, abandoned him, deserted him. They had turned their back on him, and instead they were digging their own cisterns. You know, basically a cistern is just a way to hold any kind of water, to store it up so that you can use it some other time. Maybe it comes from a well. Maybe you catch it from rainwater or from a stream. I put in here a couple pictures of modern cisterns. Here's one, just a bunch of rocks, and a well kind of pumps up into that, and that holds the water so that in dry seasons when that well is empty, you got some water to go to. Then you've got a potty, right? Did you know that that top part is called the cistern? Kind of interesting. These people are digging cisterns, right? But ancient cisterns might be huge. See how giant this is? This is like a giant room. Once again, these are desert lands. So they would fill this up in the spring when the rain was plentiful. They would fill this thing up so that then when the dry times came, they could use that water. Or you might have just a little bowl cistern that you would use. Now, if any of you were here on the spring retreat, I shared this visual picture of this fountain and that we love others because God first loves us. We really can't love other people if we're just trying to like make it happen, right? We're trying to like get some well out of us that is not there. So we get that living water in us to then spill into other people. So what is it that God encouraged his people to do in Jeremiah? Jeremiah 3:22a says, return. Okay, I will tell you, this was something that Diane and I did not sync up well enough, and that is what Bible dictionary we use for our Hebrew, okay? This is the same word, okay? S-H-U-W-B, that's pronounced shuv. Okay, you listen to it, it says shuv. I don't know why they spell it with a B, but I guess my Hebrew is not very good. So it's the same word, okay? Shuv, return. Oh, faithless sons. Faithless, that's shova. It's the same, it's based on that word shuv. It means they have backslidden, they have turned their back, they have been apostate. Sons, that's Ben. Rapha, I put that in there because maybe you guys know Jehovah Rapha, the idea of my God who is the healer, that is Rapha. And I will heal your faithlessness. Faithlessness. Meshuvav. Turning away. Backsliding. Turning your back. So you go, okay. Return, return, return. Return. You have turned your back to me and I will heal your backturnedness. Right? So what is it that God tells them to do? Come back to me and I'll heal you. Okay, so we get it. Okay, Hosea, Jeremiah, right? Old Testament, 500 years before Christ. All right, so how about now? After Christ's coming, have we figured it all out? We don't turn our back on God anymore, okay? So let's flip to Revelation. That might be easier to find than Jeremiah. Okay, so Revelation, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Okay. Revelation chapter 2. Okay. John writes a nice grace sandwich to this church beginning in 2:2. Okay. So, in the book of Revelation, the apostle John was inspired by God to write letters to seven different churches. And the first letter he wrote was to the church in Ephesus. So look with me at verse 2 and 3. I know your works, your toil, your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. Ladies, I'll tell you that Carville Bible Church, I think we're kind of doing this. I mean, I hope and believe at some level, you know, we are like, we know we're testing evil and we're enduring and, you know, okay, so yes, grace sandwich, right? Good. You're doing great. You guys, you're yay. But then let's keep going. Okay. Let's go to verse 4 and 5. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. You know, that sounds like Jeremiah 2:2. They have forgotten their love at first. They have forgotten that they're Christ's bride. And now, what are they supposed to do? They have to remember. This is, you know, keep in mind, I hadn't heard what Diane's talking about. I just had seen her notes. So they have to remember. They have to call to mind. They have to hold in their memory. They need to remember their first love, Jesus, and the love that they once had for him. They need to repent, turning away from sin, turning away from those things that are holding them captive, turning them away from idols like Diane, right? If you are facing your sin, your back is to God. They need to repent, turn their back on their sin and turn towards God, and they need to return to their first love and to those works that they did at first. And before I close up, I have to point out, do you see how re is in the beginning of each of these? Re means to do it again. It entails repetition, going back to something. You remember something because you knew it first. You did it first, it happened first, and you remember it. Repenting is turning back to where you ought to be, and return is to go back somewhere that you have been before. Now listen, you can't return to something that you've never had in the first place, and you can't remember something that you never knew in the first place. If you have never known God as your first love, you can't remember that, and you can't return to it. So your first step here has to be, do I really know God as my first love? Has he ever been my first love? Have I ever been the bride of Christ? And then if you know, yes, I have. Yes, I have known him. Then we got to go back to that. We have to remember that and return to that. And God is inviting us to be his bride. And if that's where your heart is even today, then I'm praying that you would put your faith in Jesus and turn to him for salvation and for him to be your well of living water. So what are our three steps? We remember our first love. We repent of our wayward heart and we return to our God.